Bye.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Our agenda got pretty full real quick.
It did. And I put some time limits on it as well because I'm hoping to be able to manage just getting through that whole thing because some of them are time sensitive.
Yeah. And I have I should be able to share screen much easier than I have been since
Okay,
I
that's
have
great.
the new Surface Pro, so it's all coordinated, so I can share whenever you want me to.
Okay. Yeah, if you could put up the agenda. I just put those few things in the business agenda, but we have, public comment and we have agenda confirmation. I mean, we have minutes. We have those things on the front end that we need to do. So I didn't put them all into your agenda, so.
That's, oh yeah, that's fine. And I debated if I should just republish the agenda, and then I just thought it'd be too confusing.
Yeah, and it's sort of last minute as well.
Yeah.
It looks like Sophia is an attendee.
Oh, oops, I can
panelist.
I can move her over. Yeah, it is kind of confusing because I do send out like a couple different links, but I'd rather have too many links and at least get into the meeting.
And for some reason, in my email now, they get filtered. They're not in my, what are the categories called?
Oh, do they go to like spam?
No, they go to
or junk?
Focused. Yeah, it's sort of a, rather than focused, they go into the other category. I don't know why I have these. Maybe if I mean, I'm not trying to filter my emails, but they end up in these two different categories of focused and other. And you ended
up interesting.
The panelist one ended up in other, even though when you sent out the agenda the other day, it ended up under focused. So huh. I don't know.
Okay, we have another attendee.
Unmute. That should be better.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Larry.
Larry's on mute. Unmute, Larry. Thank you, Larry.
There we go. Hi, Nancy.
I hope you're feeling better.
I've definitely turned the corner. I'm the surgery itself, pretty much a piece of cake. It's all the side effects that got me, so.
What did you have surgery for?
I had my right shoulder replaced.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's, you know, pretty critical infrastructure.
Believe it or not, this is my arm moving, and it's, I had my first physical therapy yesterday, and they were quite pleased with my initial progress, so.
That's great.
Jeff's having it done on October 21st.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see somebody as old as Larry doing so well.
Same thing, Jeff's shoulder surgery?
Yeah, right shoulder. In my case, the shoulder got screwed up when I was born, so.
Huh. Yep, that's RVA.
Yeah, same operation, and I'm happy it's as simple as it seems to be.
So Larry, if you'd lower your camera a little bit, we could see your shoulder. Ah, there.
It's
unbelievable. They literally cut your arm off and cut the head off and stick a new thing in there and a new socket and shove it back in, and an hour and 20 minutes later you got a brand new shoulder.
Wow.
It's amazing they can change out body parts like that. and literally it's pretty pain free. I mean,
wow, it was that's great.
It was the airway down my throat that got me the worst. That plus when they do your shoulder block, it paralyzes your solar plexus. And I got a severe case of hiccups, and they had to put me on medication to get rid of the hiccups.
Wow.
And those two things were the most discomfort that I had. The surgery itself in my arm is just tight, but that dull ache, and they describe it as a very bad toothache in my shoulder, is now gone. It's just gone away.
That's so great. How big an incision do they make?
About 6 inches.
Hmm.
Cut me all the way across here like that.
Oh.
And they pull it out and do their thing and put you back together.
Bionic man.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's see. We have, there's Sharon and Javier. Welcome. I think Debbie is planning to join us. There's Debbie. Speak of the devil.
There she is.
And I see Sophia, and I see Jimmy's name, but all I see is census up there. So I think that's it. Are we? There he is.
There he is.
Are we missing anybody? I think we've got everybody. We are down one member, but which is something we should talk about at some point, but we have too full an agenda tonight to do it. So why don't we go ahead and get started? I'm going to call the meeting to order. Lori is on board, and it looks like Brian's there as well. Oh, great. Thanks, Lori. And this is our business agenda, but we have sort of up front after the call to order and the roll call. We don't have to do roll call. We see you all. The minutes from the last meeting were in the packet that Lori sent out. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Thanks, Debbie. Second? Is there a second? Sharon, thanks. Any discussion on the minutes? All right, all those in favor, raise your hand or say aye or, okay. Any opposed to approval of the minutes? Any abstentions? All right, minutes unanimously approved. And then I think the next agenda item is what we have in our business agenda here. Let's see, we do have, just want to acknowledge there's a couple of attendees, Dave Kaplan and JC Harris are also attending. So our business agenda, originally—
I don't know, somehow I just got kicked out.
You got kicked out? I can hear you, Larry.
I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm not.
I can see the top of your head, I think.
Oh, yeah, there you are, Larry. Oh, there's somebody else.
Oh, hi, Cindy.
Doesn't look like Larry.
Well, you have to go back here. Click here to join.
Larry, you're still there.
They're still there, Larry. There we are.
You're still on, Larry.
He has his technical support team working on the issue.
Your camera seems to be swiveling around, Larry, but you're still on Zoom, so we're seeing you.
Hi, Cindy.
All right, we may have just lost Larry. So let's discuss the work plan. So originally our agenda was to do the work plan priorities, and then I was going to give you an update on an FAA meeting that I participated in, but we've had a couple of time-sensitive things thrown onto our plate as well, so I added those to the agenda I sent out today, and we'll get to those here in a minute. But I wanted to discuss the work plan priorities first, because we've been working on this for the last couple of meetings, and I don't know, Lori, if you can pull that up. I emailed that out to everybody. And then I sent you a revised version because I actually hadn't included my priorities in there. And it's not, oh, great. Ooh, it's weird, isn't it? Did it come across that way when I sent it out with all these?
No, not in the copy I printed.
Weird symbols in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you have the formatting display set up in Word, it would show up like this. And there's an option to display it. If you see the font icon on the top, and that, yeah, if you click on that one, then it should, oops, sorry, where it says normal, and then there's a little P turned around. I mean, it's kind of hard to indicate it, but if you see the view menu at the top of the screen, right under the view menu.
Lori, you see that little P under, go right down below that. Right down below that, Lori. That P, the backwards P there. Right underneath the view. Pull your arrow down about. Now go back. Go back to home, Lori.
Yeah, or yeah, and then.
And then when you go to view, and don't click on it, but pull your arrow down. There, oop, up, right there, I think is what he's saying. Yeah. Click that.
Got it.
Yeah, it's okay. An old-fashioned paragraph, Mark.
Right. Okay, great. Thanks, Lori. Thanks, Javier. Okay, so what I did is just summarized, you can see all the responses, I put them in the Word file I sent you. We heard from everyone except, I didn't hear from Larry, I know you were recovering from surgery, and I didn't hear from Sophia or Jimmy, so if you, the three of you want to weigh in on your priorities as we go through this, that might be helpful. I included everyone else's, and there's a lot of verbiage, but I tried to summarize it here by just simply putting in, if you rank something number one, I showed that here. If it was two or three or four or five, then that's what these numbers mean, that somebody said this very first one was their fifth priority. So if you look down through here, it struck me that the one that had sort of the most votes was the FAA lawsuit follow-up. It's not exactly clear to me what we'll do on this. And I don't necessarily want to talk about how we do this work right now, but just to say on our work plan, the committee indicated that they had a high interest in following up on the FAA lawsuit, I think primarily because it appears that the FAA has not complied with the court action and is continuing, if not the same, more aggressively turning planes over Burien. So that, is there any disagreement that this is something we should continue to pursue?
I'll just give you my quick input there, Nancy. I did spend time with this today, and my number one priority was that same number one right there, the FAA lawsuit. I would put as number one, and then number two, I came up with the legislators, whether it's state or federal. And number three, I put as Waltz. Those three were my three priorities that I came up with that I would rank if you want to just put mine in there.
Okay. Yeah. Lori is showing this, but those pretty much align with we have up there. Yeah. Actually, since you just did that, I don't know, Jimmy and Sophia, do you want to indicate what yours are before we actually go through this?
Can you, I know you probably went over this. Yes, you did go over this before. Walt Balla's work is, can you, what are the like two sentences on what that work is about?
It's about sort of use of the runways and safety issues that he has uncovered based on FAA regulations. And he thinks that there are concerns that safety issues that should be raised with the FAA, that they are actually violating their own guidance, their own laws. And he has a fairly comprehensive presentation that he'd like to give to the airport committee. we had it scheduled at a past meeting and then we ended up not getting to it.
I can give a brief follow-up to that as well. I've been talking with Walt, and you may, or I can't remember who's all been on the thread of the email, but the Mr. Muller at the FAA, at the who is a group of inspectors at the very high level in Washington, D.C., is in the process of putting together an extensive report that will be made available in the, I believe, not too distant future. And once we receive that, depending on what is in that report, could be a piece of information that's going to be of great value to the city. And it's something that Walt has worked long and hard on. And we can just leave it at that and wait until we get this next step on the feedback from Mr. Muller, which I think is forthcoming in, like I said, not too distant future.
Okay, thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
So that may be something we do once we get that feedback. So I, Sophia or Jimmy, do you wanna add anything to this list, Jimmy?
I just wanted to say that my priorities would be looking at the zoning close or underneath the airport runways. And the other one is the second major international airport search in Washington State. I think those two right there are things that I think are important. And I'll start off with under the flight path. You know, I have my business under the flight path now, and I can't see how, and it's not, I mean, some of them go directly over me, but I can't for the life of me understand how people can live with that much noise every day, every minute. And to me, it's like, you know, maybe it's a rezoning, because then people are able to afford to buy another home if it's industrial, it's commercial zone. And then the second airport, I mean, let's be realistic about it. We need a second airport in the state of Washington, period. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And Sophia?
I agree with the zoning. And can you scroll down? Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, up to the closer to the top of the page. Thanks. Community outreach, I think, is an important one as well, to just get different perspectives. And the state and, well, and the FAA lawsuit, I definitely agree with that. In the state and federal legislative agenda.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, those are some of these, and some of you pointed this out, that some of these on this list are actually not real time consuming activities. For example, even the zoning, it would be we as the airport committee recommending to the city council that they consider zoning, you know, how we have zoned land underneath the runways and, you know, how to think about that in terms of proximity to the airport. And if they directed us, if the city council said, we'll come back with recommendations, then there might be some work that we would do on that. But I think all of these, the work plan that we have, we take it to the city and we say that to the council and say, are these the things that you would like to see us as an airport committee working on? So there's a bit of a give and take here. So the FAA lawsuit sounds like one. So that's, you know, if we can just, maybe there's some we take off here. I mean, that's, you know, perhaps the easy way to do it. And then we summarize this list of the FAA lawsuit, follow up, the work on the federal and state legislative agenda, which will require some work because we don't have any specifics under there. We're simply saying, we do under the state, but not under the federal. We're simply saying that there should be some federal action taken. And actually, when I talk about the FAA meeting, there may be something that we could come back to and include as some federal actions. I'm jumping around here. Community outreach by the city. I think that's a similar recommendation that we have an article perhaps in the magazine. That's something we've talked about. Someone in their comments said, you know, we obviously shouldn't be replicating the kinds of information that the port distributes, but and the kind of information that the port is required to collect on complaints, but telling people where they can express their concerns, educating the community on that is something that I think we can do. So I think that's a good, there's a good follow-up there. The Walt's presentation, it sounds like Larry, you know, there's interest in doing that, and we may just need to have whatever additional information he anticipates getting from the FAA that then leads to some recommendations he might want to make. So between now and the end of the year, we would try to schedule a time for Walt or you, Larry. I know the intent had been that you would potentially give Walt's presentation. So that would be on our agenda for the rest of the year. So I think, you know, based on these priorities, I think we could outline October, November, December meetings that would cover these various actions. I guess I'm sort of trying to think about what other ways. Actually, maybe Brian, can you tell me when we are going to the state legislative agenda? Now, the state legislature is not reconvening until next year. So, you know, we've got a couple of months probably to try to finalize that. The federal legislative agenda, now that's a moving target. And I don't know if we have specific council schedules for that, if it's on our city council agenda. But we would need to align with what's on the city council now if we as an airport committee want to make recommendations for specific support for specific actions on the part of the state and the federal legislators.
So the federal legislative agenda is going to be in the packet for September 21st, a draft. So that will be forwarded for council consideration. And that's based on the input that was provided by council. With the meetings with our federal lobbyist. The state agenda is still being crafted. There's quite a few moving parts, especially with the state's budget issues that they're currently facing. But that agenda will also be presented in a council format for consideration at a future meeting, certainly before the end of the year.
Right. So maybe with the federal one, we can take a look. We, the airport committee, can take, that's next week's meeting. I don't know if it's on for discussion or adoption, Brian, but if it's on for discussion, then perhaps we can ask that the airport committee have the opportunity to weigh in and see if there's anything we want to add to that before it's formally adopted.
So it is in just discussion format on the 21st, and would be the idea would be have it approved by council in the first meeting in October,
which would be before our next airport committee meeting. I wonder if we could sort of adjust that.
We could. Yeah. You could have it on the second meeting in October if that works better.
Okay. So it would give us an opportunity to take a look at. I believe when we talked to the lobbyist, I brought up, you know, whatever airport issues we might want to consider. But again, I think we can come back to this. So does anybody have any comments on
this? I raised my hand on the emoji actions under more.
Oh, I see it there, Deb. Sorry.
Oh, you do see it. I was wondering if anybody could see that.
No, I can see it.
Have any council members had any conversations with Mike Doubleday on what kinds of things are of interest to other legislators, other airport communities that are working on any kind of legislative proposals?
I have not heard of any conversations of that ilk. The council members had some meetings with Mike Doubleday. I mean, some council members were in those conversations, and I did not ask. I mean, it's a good point to ask Mike whether he's aware of other communities expressing their concerns.
Because the federal legislative agenda might be just a matter of supporting good legislative proposals. And I know that in the airport summit group that some community members are working on with Tina Orwell, there have been conversations. There's other legislators that are interested in seeing mitigation, air quality mitigation at the federal level. So there was a state representative on our last call from Boston Logan area who talked about that and who I think is working on a proposal for that. But anyway, it'd be good to know from Mike what kinds of things are coming along in the pipeline to see what we can support. And
okay.
And on the state level as well, when you have your meetings with the state reps, bringing up issues of how to replace NEPA in the SEPA process, some of those issues that are very important to our process going forward, right, like the cumulative impact analysis, we could incorporate that at a state level. We could also put some EJ compliance and some mitigation requirements into that. A legislative proposal. Those things are of interest to the community.
So I did bring up the SEPA NEPA thing when we spoke to Lissette, our lobbyist. We have not, as a council, so we haven't seen a list yet. We've had, you know, sort of one-on-one or two-on-one conversations between the lobbyist and council members. And both Mike Doubleday and Lissette are going to compile the list, and I assume that's what's going to be, the federal one is what's going to be in the packet. So none of us have seen it yet. So I think when the council sees it on Monday night, we can take a look and then say there's some gaps here and there are other things we want to include on the federal side. Debbie, I'm not cognizant or aware of what's going on in those summit discussions. So if there are notes or something that you want to share with me or with other council members or with the airport committee, that would be really helpful, because then we can put that into these legislative agendas, because I'm not hearing that in any other context.
The one thing that's been a big topic of conversation is mitigating the ultrafine particulate indoor air quality, especially in schools.
Right, and that's, we know that, yeah, that's, yeah, Tina's HEPA filter thing, which I think is on there already. It's on,
yeah, the, that's state level, but at a federal level, it would be good if a FAR 150 type of program could cover that kind of mitigation, so that, you know, we're talking about the state paying for it. That's again, you and I. It'd be good if this came from the user fees that the FAA collects as they pay for noise mitigation. So it would be a conversation to have with Mike Doubleday.
All right.
So Councilmember Tosta, can I add a comment on the federal legislative agenda?
Yeah, sure.
So we do have in the draft form a section that's on reducing airport noise and emissions, and to work with our neighboring communities, congressional delegation, FAA, Port of Seattle, and it's and there's several bullet points which I can go through, but it is specific to much of the work that's been done by the airport committee, but also some of the topic areas that Debbie's referencing as well.
Okay. All right. So I think once we see what's written down in this draft legislative agenda that council will see on Monday night, then we, the airport committee, can react to that and suggest additions or changes or how to make it more robust, including the things you're just talking about, Debbie. Sophia, I see you. I think that's you. You have your hand up. And if you're speaking, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry. Well, and I was just looking at this chart again, and I didn't catch it before, but you have the state legislative agenda. And then if you scroll towards the second page, there is a second major international airport search, wasn't that the result of legislation in yes. previous years?
Yeah, there's a committee that's doing that work.
Okay.
And, you know, I think what this action here was, let's just write a letter to the that committee. And we've said this. I mean, they know this. I mean, Karen Kaiser and others, Tina and others sit on this committee that's doing that work. And they've winnowed it down to four or five sites, none of which are optimal. But and I haven't heard lately, I don't know if anyone on the call is aware of where they are with their work, with their sort of site selection process. But this intent was that we would simply recommend to our city council that they draft a letter saying to this committee saying, we wholly support, you know, your efforts to find another site. It's not really essential to do this because they're doing it. They know there's a need for another site. So.
No, I'm just the way this chart is set up is that you have, it sounds like then you have new legislation that hasn't yet been proposed, or we are waiting to see a proposal. And then in this case of the second major, that's implementation of legislation that's passed.
That's true.
And the list is, you know, this is quite a, it has a lot of elements to it. So if you were looking at things to condense, it would be good to have just one category, for example, of state legislation, either proposed or ongoing, and how do we get engaged. But that's just that was just a suggestion and trying to understand that D&E is really placeholders for anything new that might be coming in 21 that we're not aware of yet, so.
Well, D&E are activities that our council undertakes every year, where we adopt a formal set of mm-hmm. recommendations for state and federal legislation. So that's what D&E were. Whereas J is something we have supported, you know, the search for another airport in the past, and that's been mm-hmm. on our legislative agenda in the past. So this is more simply saying, we're glad that work is going on and please do it as quickly as you can, sort of thing would be my mm-hmm. interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than, you know, passing new legislation.
It's yeah. also, in my view, it's also a great opportunity to run things by your legislators as you're having your meetings, like Legislator Wynn, for instance, that was very interested last session in environmental justice, things he may be working on as a adjunct to that legislation he proposed last session that didn't pass. So these are conversations you can be having with Karen Kaiser and Tina Orwell and others that are our representatives on what kinds of things the Burien Airport Committee can support that they are working on, or vice versa, what things they can support that we all have an interest in.
Right. But we are a body of the city council. So
right.
we
and
look
I'm
to the city council to adopt
right. I'm not,
their
I'm
agenda.
I'm not trying to usurp anybody's authority. I'm just thinking back on when I was a council member, it was
right,
very
right
interesting to ask them what's going on and how to, you know, work together. That's all about working together.
And that's why we adopt these formal agendas, so that we as council members have a sort of agreement, consistent agreement across us as to what our priorities are as a city, that when we meet with Joe Wynn or Joe Fitzgibbon or Tina or Karen, that we can say these are our city's priorities. So that's why we sort of go through this formality of having, you know, a consistent agenda for the council. But we, the airport committee, can have input into this. So once we see what the drafts are, then we can comment and add to them. So I think that's what our process is. So I think there's agreement here that we want to have some say in that. And we just have to, the time is going to be ripe to do the federal one sooner rather than later. And as Brian said, the state one before the end of the year. So I think we've got enough stuff here. I want to move on to the other topics on our agenda. But we've got work here that we can, Lori and I can work on sort of drafting the agenda for the rest of the year for our airport committee meetings and sharing that with you and maybe putting a little bit more detail on each of these as to what that timing would be and what the iterative interaction would be. We, the airport committee, do something, ask the council, and the council may then come back to us and ask for direction or input.
We think we're down to 4 or 5 issues.
So we can narrow it down to 4 or 5 issues. It's not, you know, we haven't prioritized port funding projections. I mean, some of these others. City Council, you know, there was one person who said that there should be inclusion of climate impacts in the city's climate action plan. I think, you know, that will likely be acknowledged. What the city can't do anything about the airport impacts. We can acknowledge, you know, greenhouse gas emissions. We can acknowledge that they exist in our climate action plan. But so I think some of these are, there's less work that the city would actually do or that the airport committee would actually do.
We can plant trees.
We can. Okay. Let's move on if everybody's more or less okay with this. I don't see any more hands raised. So the second item on there, what did I put second, Lori? I think it was the noise monitor location. Is that correct? Sorry, I don't have this open
yes.
in front of me. Yeah, sorry, I will open this. So Brian, do you wanna say something about this since this was an email that came in to you from Dave Kaplan? Or from, I can't remember who it came in from.
So the port did contact us about the request that we made to have a noise monitor placed in the city, and we gave them a location off Ambaum and near the elementary school. It was the same one that Sharon, I think, provided. They have 3 other applications. Apparently they went through a scoring process of that, and our location came up as the number one location. So they'd like to have by tomorrow agreement to for a 2-month placement of that noise monitor. I had a conversation with Councilmember Tosta today about the concern that this may not be the best time period to accurately reflect the impacts of North Flow and the turboprops over Burien and the noise issues at that particular location, and that we might consider having that, making a request to have that monitor placed during the summer months next year.
Folks in agreement with this?
Well, I will second yes. that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
If it's a yeah. 2-month placement, then July and August.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Brian, I don't know if there's any, I mean, I guess you know, basically you're hearing this, the airport committee is recommending that is when we have the most North Flow traffic. And so it doesn't make sense to put it at a time when there isn't that much traffic. So is that something you can communicate? Do you need anything more formal than what you're hearing right now?
No, and I'll communicate back to council if I hear something different about that request. But I will make that request by tomorrow.
Okay.
So Brian, do you know what the other 2 locations are?
I don't. There's one in Federal Way and one in, I'm not sure what the other said. I can look it up here just a sec.
Because if the port refuses to do that work in July and August next year, I would recommend that we withdraw our request for ours and that they go to the number 2 choice. That's what I would recommend.
I would agree with that, Debbie, because it doesn't make sense to monitor when we know there's unlikely to be the impacts that we are concerned about, because I think that could end up being used against us to say, what noise concerns do you all have?
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly why they put us in the number one position, is they want that negative or positive information on their behalf. And I think that Debbie says, and as you've recommended too, Nancy, is we just withdraw our petition and say at this time we are undetermined about having a monitor in the city until we've had more time to think about it, and don't let them tell us when and where they're going to put it, even though that location I think would be satisfactory July and August of next year. But this time frame now would be a poor and we wouldn't like the feedback we're going to get.
Okay, got that, Brian?
Yeah, I'd like to make just a comment. I mean, I'd be happy to get the criteria and the selection criteria and what type of analysis was done to select how we became number one. I think that'd be appropriate to take a look at that before we assume what their intent is. Not to say that that might not be their intent, but if that's of interest to the committee, I'll make that request as well on how the scoring and with the other cities, but I'll clearly articulate the airport committee's interest in, or actually it's going to be council's interest in having this noise monitor placed during July and August of next year, which would more accurately reflect the impacts to the neighborhood and specifically on North Flow.
Yeah, I think sure. You can state it just like that, Brian. I think that would be satisfactory to me if you want my input.
Sharon, you're on mute.
I'd like to think that the reason we were in first place is I wrote the request with the criteria in mind that they had specified. And since I've done monitor site locations myself, I kind of have an idea of what they're looking for and the kinds of possibilities that exist. So I don't think it was an accident. I don't think it was entrapment, but I do think it was, they could have been clearer about the months that they were going to do the monitoring and what flexibility could be afforded those of us who were in competition and who really wanted to see the results and the best results possible.
Yeah, and Brian, I think we had seen the criteria. I know, in fact, I think even when you sent out the notice that we'd been selected, they included the criteria that were used for the site selection. Right. We didn't see any ranking of the other sites to know, how far ahead we were from them, but so I think we've got a little bit of that information already. But I do think it's important to say, our intent is to monitor noise that we know is having an impact in our community. And we know that the timing of that is in the summer months on North Flow. And so that's the appropriate time to measure this. And it doesn't make sense to measure it now.
Well, and not to belabor the point, but the new flight plans, the new flight path that the turbojets are flying right now are also impinging into the, I know it's in Gregory Heights neighborhoods, and it would be helpful to know that if they're willing to give us a year, that was all unknown at the time they asked for the request, but if there is an opportunity next year, we may have a different location by that time, because I don't know how many others have noticed, but there are many new flights that didn't exist a couple of months ago. And because I've spent most of my summer outside working on my decks, that I'm sure the complaint level is up, and I'm also certain that we'd be curious to know what the noise impacts are of those flights.
I think they've been using the turboprops really quite more regularly than what they used to. Maybe it's because the number of people flying is not as much. You know, there hasn't been as many essential trips.
Yeah, that could be.
And this relates to our FAA lawsuit follow-up as well.
Yeah, it does. So.
Okay, so Brian, you have clear enough direction?
Yes.
Okay, great, thanks. The next topic on our agenda is another prioritization exercise that is maybe even more complicated than what we went through with our work plan, because there are 72 recommendations that are included in the Department of Commerce Stantec report that was finished in May. And I don't believe it's actually been forwarded to the legislature yet, because the legislature hasn't been in session, is my understanding. But Department of Commerce has asked Brian, and this may be another one of those where you have to click that weird little paragraph thing up there, Lori. The legislature, the Department of Commerce is asking for Brian to provide his top 10 priorities on this list of 72 recommendations. I spoke with Brian today and said, you know, this is complicated because it's not clear who we're making recommendations for. Because even as you can see in this table, some of these are different entities that may play a role in carrying out these recommendations or implementing these recommendations. The email that Brian had from Department of Commerce implied that these would be requests for funding, and I assume funding from the legislature to do some of these things. But some of these things don't fall under easily implementable, even if you had money from the legislature. Let me just put it that way. So I personally went through and picked out 10 that I thought we might want to recommend, but I guess I'd like to hear from anybody else. I believe there are 9 categories here, and I'd like to hear from anybody else what they think might be high on your list to recommend. And I apologize for some of the funky formatting. I changed this from a PDF to a Word file so that I could play with it a little bit. But has anybody else had a chance? Sharon?
Well, I just had a comment to make, which was that when I went over the list, and it is exhaustive, it did occur to me there are a number of items that could be state legislative initiatives, like studies, for example, where studies are recommended. And let's say sometimes they indicated the Department of Ecology and WSDOT might be involved, that it would, I viewed this list as a good source for coming up with at least items to consider for a state legislative agenda. I really didn't think in terms of the top 10. So I really am not prepared to answer that right now. And it's such fine print and I didn't copy it that I can hardly read it. But I thought they had a lot of good ideas, but I saw them more in the context of supporting like a budget proviso to do X, Y, Z and direct, for example, the Department of Ecology to look at the number of air monitors that should exist around SeaTac Airport. That's just an example. Sorry, I'm pretty raspy because of all the smoke.
Lightheaded is the way I feel because of all the smoke.
What have you been smoking?
if only.
Yeah, I know. I've got headaches and
pine trees, I think. You know, it's people's houses. It's, yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Has anybody else had a chance to take a look at it?
I'm sorry, Brian.
I see, Brian, you have your hand up, or is that from before?
No, thank you. You know, I would recommend that there has been quite a bit of initiative with Representative Orwal and her work with the mitigation in terms of the nanoparticles and the filters and schools and mitigation, you know, that's part of, you know, based on airport impacts, that I think coming out of this study and given her Representative Orwal's influence, you know, in the legislature and to support her in those efforts, I believe it would be helpful to prioritize some of our responses consistent with those efforts.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And those were some of the ones that I highlighted. And I can go through those in a minute. But Debbie, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that usually I would go through this stuff right away, but I was reading through the proposed rulemaking on greenhouse gas that EPA is having a hearing on Friday morning, and I kind of thought I had a little more time on this. So I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but this is a kind of a nice outcome from where we were at with the draft report. I'm glad that they have incorporated recommendations. That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had a chance to look at them. So do you believe the Burien Airport Committee then should be tasked with some kind of an agreement on what we would prioritize on this list?
Well, yeah.
Legislative agenda?
Let's talk about that. And that may come up for the legislative agenda. Brian has the task to get back to Department of Commerce by next Wednesday, I think, or sometime next week. So we, you know, this is our opportunity for input. And I'm going to make a suggestion here along the lines of what Brian just said in terms of thinking about improving, supporting some of what Tina may be interested in and some of the things that we have talked about many times that we know are having an impact in our community. So for me, it's things like, you know, the institute the noise abatement procedures for late night operations, expand the noise monitor locations. These are under B4 and 5, address existing mitigation packages to fix faulty installations, number 6. 5 is repeated in this list. So 4, 5, and 6 under noise. Air quality, C1, improve the current monitoring network by increasing the number of monitors. I mean, these to me are things we've talked about many times before and that we should continue to say, yeah, this needs to happen. And it, you know, it's not so much a study, but funding is necessary for some of these. Related to that is under public health, H, which is on page 8, number 3, more detailed public health statistics at the census tract level so we can compare what these impacts might be. And H4 is very similar to one of the ones above where we are reauthorizing mitigation packages or approving, similar to what, you know, some of what Tina's looking for. I didn't see anything in here specific to air filters, and I may have missed that, Brian. And then expand the late night under H, public health, H9, expand the late night noise limitation program to reduce the effects on neighborhoods. I mean, I looked at all of these and said, these are things that we know are a concern in our community. And so these are the things that should be prioritized. So that was my logic in going through this. You know, some of these about rental car facilities and mobility and some of those, I just, you know, were sort of beyond what we've ever talked about.
Yeah, I think you've done a good job there, Nancy. And I think Brian, between you, Brian, you guys for sure have your pulse of this kind of thing. And Brian, it appears and with Tina and Karen and their legislative action down there, any input that they've got, because this is their program, I think anything we can do to support them is the right approach that you and Brian are talking about. And I would say that, you know, over the next few days, if I had any questions, I'd like to be able to maybe reach out to Brian or to you or to give any more input. But I think that you're on track of doing what I would say is the appropriate thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Sophia. I'm also very interested in the public health recommendations. A lot of them Nancy pointed out. Number three, I think, is really important, just leveraging existing population data so we can get more connection between health and airport data. Number four, mitigation. And then seven, hold on, what did I put down for number seven? You'll have to scroll.
Establish
health effect assessment process, I think, would be great tool to develop. And then 10 and 11, I thought were good as well.
Okay. I think that's probably putting us in the realm of 10 here for you, Brian. Yeah. Other thoughts or comments on this? Anybody else had a chance? And Larry, I would say yes. If you go through this and there's a few in there that really hit you, reach out to me or to Brian and let us know.
Okay.
One thing that I had asked for in the, does somebody else have their hand up? Can I go?
Go, Deb.
Okay. One thing that I'd asked for in the scoping to the FAA and the Port of Seattle on the SAMP was to have a mapping project where you could see who has the highest noise levels along with high emission levels and high health impacts in relationship to environmental justice eligible census groups. So those are all available, and I would love to see a color-coded map that would be a larger overlay than just the airport itself. And this is somewhere in this, one of these bullet points under health, the overlay district. It would be so interesting to have that kind of thing, because I think there are areas in the county that are going to come up black, because they're going to be overlaid by green and purple and yellow and blue and orange. So these are the kind of things we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other issue is a health risk assessment. So Chris Johnson at King County Department of Public Health was provided funding through a proviso from the state to look at health impact. And she deferred some of that work to Kim Sperry at the university level, working on a master's thesis, who did a very poor job with the health risk assessment using data that was more than 10 years old. So that is something that is critical to our understanding of who's at risk, who's at most risk, and from what. And this is a way to also develop cumulative risk, because the effects of noise on the human body has overlaps with the effects of the emissions from aviation on the human body. So you are adding, these are additive to reducing immune response. And immune response is what's needed to fight off COVID and cancer and asthma and other diseases. Well, we have a big immune suppression, I believe, in the airport area, and more susceptible to disease as a result. These are things that we can know from a good, proper risk assessment, which is doable. It's been done around airports, and it should not be very expensive.
So Deborah, you suggest
that's something I would like to see added to the public health.
Yeah, I guess that's the challenge is the request was to prioritize these 72, not to add to them, because this is, I guess, what they've come up with out of their report. It seems some of what you're saying, the health effect assessment, you know, if you, you want that, you could call that a risk assessment. You know, some of it may be just in the words they're using.
And also number three, I mean, I was, when Debbie was talking, it seemed like number three really overlaid her interest in the multiple levels of data as well. And I agree with Nancy about that health assessment.
H3 and H7, I think probably aren't exactly the same words you're using, Deb, but I think are sort of what's maybe intended there. I mean, if there's funding for that. Interestingly, the way they have, I guess the legislature is highlighted in H3. In H7, it looks like they're thinking the city and the county would do that. So, but if this is for funding, you know, to sort of go and say, you know, obviously nobody can do these things without some funding. So that's the challenge, is, and the funding's likely to come from the state legislature. So I think we've covered them, Deb. I think we've got some of that in there. Any other comments on this list? That anybody wants to highlight anything we haven't already talked about? If not, then let's move on to, we may even be ahead of schedule here, trying to push through this. So I wanted to give an update on, or just a report out, I guess. You know that we had asked, and I'd been tasked, to reach out to the FAA to try to set up a meeting with Justin Bissau. I still don't really know how to pronounce his name, the community ombudsperson who, in the FAA reauthorization, that position was created so that there would be someone that communities could talk to with regard to the FAA. And these have been set up all over the country, and you know, it's taken a while to get them in place. Well, I found out after making an inquiry through Adam Smith's office that you can't just reach out to the FAA and say, please come and talk to us. There has to be sort of a legislative request. And so Alex, actually Lindell, before she left, reached out, and I think I shared with you all the response that we got back from the FAA, which was, we respectfully decline your invitation to meet. The appropriate forum to talk to communities is through START. And I was not the only, we weren't the only city with electeds that were doing this outreach. Turns out SeaTac, Peter Kwan, had been doing the same request, and JC Harris in Des Moines had been making the same request. All of us were saying, we would really like to talk to the FAA, and primarily to figure out how, when we have questions about what's going on at the airport, how we can get answers. And the response all of us had gotten was, well, it has to happen through START. Well, finally, the FAA, Justin and David Sumi agreed that they would have a conversation. And 2 weeks ago, Justin Bissau, David Sumi, and probably half a dozen other FAA deputy assistant secretary, you know, the sort of multiple levels, senior assistant to David Sumi, were on the call along with Adam Smith's office. Adam was not on the call, but his Washington liaison Amanda was, and Alex, who has taken Lindell's place here in the Northwest, was on. And JC Harris and Peter Kwan and myself. And we had an hour conversation with David Sumi and with Justin Bissau. And I was absolutely amazed at the antagonism and the defensiveness and the pushback of, why do you want to talk to us? What do you want to talk to us about? What is this that, you know, you think you've been writing letters to us? And it was very uncomfortable that, you know, these government officials that in theory, that particularly Justin, have been put in place to be a liaison to our communities. What they continue to tell us is that, well, this has to be done through START. And I think Peter and JC and myself all made an effort to explain that, you know, START in our community, the port runs START. And this is not, the communities don't necessarily feel like they are having effective communication and their concerns are being heard through the START process. And we went around and around on this for about 45 minutes. And finally, by the end of the call, I finally asked, I said, look, you know, I'm just expressing to you that our communities are feeling that the umbrella of START is not the forum where we can have honest conversations about what our concerns are and, you know, what the port might be able to do to address some of our concerns. That it's not, it's an endeavor that's run by the port and it's not community led. And I asked whether there were forums or roundtables around the country that work more effectively, because I thought, you know, Justin, that's what their job is. FAA said that there are roundtables all over the country that they are participating in to talk to communities. So that was my request to them, was to tell us if there are some effective roundtables that we could look at as an example that might help us in the dialogue that we want to have with the FAA and the port and the airport. And they just came back last week and said there are two that they would recommend we look at, one in Charlotte and DCA in DC, Reagan Airport in DC. I've done a little bit of digging in Charlotte, and I know JC Harris is on the listening in today too, and he has done some digging in Charlotte as well. I did interestingly run across, and I will share it with you all because I thought it was very informative. This past summer, Charlotte put forth a half a dozen requests for changes in airport operations that they think will reduce the noise impacts, most of them are specifically around noise, to the surrounding communities. They're very technical. It's a 15, 16 page memo of, these are our requests that we, the community, are making. Their roundtable is chaired by community members. The airport supports it and staffs it, but it's not run by the airport. So I thought it's, you know, it is a different model, and it's one that, you know, FAA has said may be more effective. So I thought one of the things we might be able to do as a committee is take a look at what some of these other roundtables are to sort of help us think about how we might recommend some changes to the structure of START if we decide that that's the forum that we're going to try to continue to have these conversations. The port was on the call that we had with the FAA. Marco and Stan Shepard were both on that call. David Sumi or Justin, START, I guess, never looked at roundtables around the country. They looked at some of the roundtables on the West Coast, but they didn't look at DCA or Charlotte as examples when the port put together the structure for START. So it felt like it was a bit of a step forward in terms of, you know, let's try to have a dialogue that is more constructive. Subsequently, I've had some outreach from Adam Smith's office. He wants to have a conversation with some of us electeds to talk about the reaction that I think FAA had to us. I don't think anybody was very satisfied with this phone call because it was just so unbelievably, you know, who are you people and why are you coming and, you know, telling us that you have concerns? And, you know, as electeds, we tried to say we represent a constituency and our constituents have concerns about what's happening at the port. So anyway, that's the sort of essence of the report. Sharon.
I just have a comment about the roundtable structure. There are federal guidelines, publications that the FAA has published that outline the guidelines. And we've had this conversation, I think, three times. It feels that way anyway. I remember Sheila has done quite a bit of research and actually talked to several of the members of those other roundtables. And I guess my impression is they have it the way they want it, and that probably the antagonism, I'm going to guess, comes from the fact that Burien suspended participation. However, all the requests dating back to a year ago, more than a year ago, the 13 points that we've discussed many times, they've given or shown some flexibility on some, but not on others. And so I guess I'm left thinking, is this a trap to suck us back into, well, maybe we should and maybe we shouldn't have suspended, because we've covered this ground with them. Brian has spent a lot of time negotiating and all of these things. And so it's curious to me why they're not only defensive and antagonistic, but they have short memories too, I guess, because they don't remember all the things that Des Moines Federal Way and Burien and sometimes Normandy Park wanted to have changed, and yet no changes have occurred. So it kind of feels like square one all over again.
So I want to clarify, Sharon, that the conversation that we asked to have with the FAA was not about START.
No, I got that.
And it was not with the port. It was asking as community members to speak with the ombudsperson of the FAA. And they came back to us and said, the only way we speak to the community is through START. And our response back was, but START does not represent the community interests. And so we made an effort to try to communicate that, to say, we believe that there are other places in the country where there are more effective communications going on with the communities. Now, we acknowledge, and the FAA said, obviously, the operations of the airport are under the authority of the port, and you know that's the way it is, and the FAA works with the port. And that's totally, that's totally clear to all of us.
I'm trying to say is what they were telling you is inconsistent with FAA guidance from headquarters, that saying,
Right. And that's what we were pushing back on. And that's what I think Adam Smith wants to look at in a little more detail. So there is some inconsistency here. I did reach out to Sheila to see if she knew something about these other roundtables. And she told me she knows something about Charlotte, and she had looked into them. And that's when I did a little more digging. So, but I will share with you, I did think, it's enlightening to see the memo that the Charlotte Roundtable put forth, because of the level of detail and the specificity of some of the requests they made. And I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, we as a community should figure out, how does something like that come out of START? If START has to be the forum, how do we make it better? And the fact that they have community leadership, not the airport, the airport is staff to that roundtable. It's right. not leading the roundtable.
Right.
So, you know, something like that is...
I just think
is,
you have a fatal flaw in the design of START, and then they've added these other conditions. They've added the conditions that the only way we can communicate is through START.
Right, right. And that was the frustrating thing, because it's not representative of the community. And I think that's what Adam Smith wants to push back on. So,
Nancy, anyway, I don't suppose... Nancy, I don't suppose you had a copy of that document Larry got somewhere, somebody got from the FAA explaining how STARTs were supposed to work that you could hand right back to them.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a file about this.
Yeah, that's the document that I've been talking about for a year. It's their own written directive out of headquarters in Washington, D.C.,
right.
which they flat out ignore and refuse to acknowledge. They won't even acknowledge that the document exists when, it, in fact, it came out of headquarters in Washington, D.C., and that they start as something that got generated and to fill that square of community involvement. But it's not following the guidance that the FAA gives. It's pure and simple. You don't need any more discussion. All you got to do is hand them the document and say, and we've done it. We've done it in meetings. Here it is. This is all we're asking for. Not anything special. We just want you to do what your document says you're supposed to do. That simple.
All right. Well, maybe this is, I mean, so we had this discussion on START at the last meeting. You all voted that we would not return to START. I know that, it wasn't a unanimous vote. There were two who voted that we should return to START. The council will hear this at some point. I know that Brian believes that we should return to START. My personal preference would be We don't just return to START. We need to come back with some conditions to improve this. And, you know, that's what, Larry, if you have a document that talks about how these things should work, and that's where my digging into roundtables that the FAA thinks are effective forums, that's helpful to us to be able to have some more conditions that we go back and say, you know, we want this to work. We want the community to be at the table. We want a forum to have these conversations.
Well, I still have the documents that Sheila passed out when we met with Des Moines and Federal Way and others were around the table. When was that? January, November, December last year? I don't know. I still have what she passed out, and I'm sure she does too. But yeah, she had a whole compilation.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Larry. All right, that would be helpful because I think, you know.
Hand it to Adam Smith. Give it to Adam Smith and say, here's all we're asking for. It's right here in their own writing, period. Right.
I do feel like, I mean, I tried to be as polite as I could, as diplomatic as I could
sure.
in this communication with the FAA. And, you know, David Sumi is an interesting human being who is just, you know, very defensive and, you know, started out antagonistic. And he, at the end of the call, said, you know, well, that's a legitimate request to find out what roundtables have been effective. And, you know, we've had some back and forth a couple times to talk about, you know, well, thank you for setting up the meeting and we hope we can continue communication. So it's, you know, trying to build some bridges here that
sure.
give us the means to ask for something different so that we have an effective forum.
Perfect. Perfect. And I think Mayor Mata and you, the elected officials, as I've always said, they can blow us citizens off. You elected officials, you can still say, you know, they have to talk to you and you can be very diplomatic, but we will get you a copy, all of you a copy and say, this is all we've ever asked for and just follow your own guidance.
Yeah. And that's, well, we'll do that. Their attitude is they don't have to talk to electeds. That's their attitude. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think the FAA sits back and thinks, boy, I sure hope these numbskulls don't figure out how much we're assaulting them at some point because we really want to do what we do without them getting involved.
Yeah. Well, it was, anyway, it was educational. Well,
thank you. Thank you for your efforts. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And I can only hope that if Mr. Mullah in Washington, D.C. writes a scathing report about SeaTac Airport and we get that in our hot little hands, and I know that's a long shot at this point, but if it turns out to be the scathing report we think it's going to be, it's going to spin heads. And when the Seattle Times gets a hold of it, it's going to spin big heads. And it's going to change. It's going to take a lot of all this effort that we've been putting in, and it's going to put it on the front burner. So that's where my initiative, my efforts moving forward personally on this committee is to bring that information to this committee as soon as I get it.
That'd be great. So that's tied into the Walt presentation. Thanks, Larry. Okay, any other questions on the FAA thing? If not, I'm going to move on the agenda. I don't see any hands. So upcoming meetings, and there's more than what I put on the list. One, as Debbie knows, as some of you know, you could spend every single day in a meeting talking about airport issues. There is a public hearing on Thursday. It's Thursday, Deb. I think you said Friday. All day, starts at 7 a.m., 10 a.m. East Coast time. And it was announced in the Federal Register last week, I guess, on greenhouse gas emission standards and test procedures from airplane and airplane engines. You had to sign up by Monday. I did sign up. I don't know. I may or may not, you know, listen in. I didn't sign up to testify. I don't know if any. Debbie, did you sign up to testify by any chance? Don't know if anybody signed up
I'm
to testify.
I'm not sure if I signed up to testify. I had to go through a link to sign up for the meeting, and it did not ask me about testifying.
No, it did ask whether you were going to offer public comment. There was a box
to check. Okay. If it did ask and it was obvious, I checked it.
Okay. Okay, so that's happening on Thursday. I can, you know, those of us that have a chance to try to listen in can report out. And then I got a postcard. I don't know if you all got postcards, but I was not aware of this, that PSRC is having an open house on Wednesday next week, and then the following week, Tuesday and Wednesday, different times of day. You can sign up on the link that I put there to talk about the future of aviation in the Puget Sound region. This is, I guess, based on the study that they're doing. I don't know if any of you knew that they were doing these open houses, but I was not aware of that.
And I got my card today.
Yeah, so something like this, yeah.
Can you copy that? Can you photo it and send it out, Nancy? Or
I can. I put the link in the revised agenda that I sent Deb, but I can, I can take a picture of this and send it if you want. It came to resident at my address. So I don't know who all they're, you know, it seems like maybe everybody should be getting one of these. I don't know who all, if you had to sign up or were getting it.
I haven't.
Are there other, either other meetings or other topics that anybody has before I go to public comment? All right, then. I am going to see if, we still have two attendees, Dave Kaplan and JC Harrison. Do either of you want to say anything? I guess, can you raise your hand or how do I can allow you to talk and you can say yes or no. How's that, JC?
JC is still muted.
JC is still muted and I can't unmute him. He must be muted himself.
No. JC? Hi, how are you? No. Thank you.
Okay. And Dave Kaplan? You have any public comment? I say that he probably does not then. Anybody have anything else?
Well, I'll just mention that I'm working on a response to the GAO and creating like a case study of noncompliance that FAA has had towards the SeaTac and where they have not provided oversight, and with particular emphasis, in fact, GAO wants sole emphasis on public outreach as it relates to the Greener Skies program. So it's a fairly narrow scope that they have outlined. And I spent almost all day working on that today, and I'll continue again tomorrow, building a case of where I believe that the FAA has been negligent in their regulatory oversight.
So Sharon, did they reach out to you separately from the end of their interviews with local?
No, but I did contact Catherine Hamer myself, but I haven't heard anything back. I sent her an email after I finished the decks, and I haven't heard anything. But then I thought maybe with the Labor Day weekend and holiday and so forth, that she might not have had a chance. So,
Sharon, if you can share, you know, things that you develop for that GAO with the airport committee, it might be informative.
I will.
Thank you. And JC, I see JC has his hand up, so I don't want to.
Yeah, you have a second, or is it too
late? You have this is your second chance at public comment here, JC.
Oh, so. I'm terribly sorry for, something I wanted to mention. If you all have a chance, you should probably go back and look at the last Port of Seattle General Commission meeting. It has been an interesting argument that I've been having for about 4 years with the noise team over the accuracy of the noise monitors. They have never been accurate, as a matter of fact. And I mean, not like a little bit, but like way, 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 way off. And so the last meeting, the port was scheduled to renew a 5-year contract with the vendor. And, you know, every once in a while, something good happens, and the port voted to refer the whole noise monitor thing over to their audit committee for review. And they are going to basically start making the raw data that is generated by the microphones public, so that we can look over their shoulder directly. it's more work than one should have to do, but the point I'm trying to make is that going into the SAMP, you know, you have the data that is generated for these kinds of things has to be trustworthy. All right. Mm-hmm. I do not trust the noise monitor data. All right. And I also will not have a great deal of faith in any kind of air quality data that they provide. One of the things that I will be advocating for, over the next year, and I hope you guys will go along for the ride, is some sort of comprehensive ongoing air quality monitoring system around SeaTac Airport from, Beacon Hill south through Federal Way. I think there's a lot of support, especially now viscerally with, the smoke, although it's not directly related. But the idea is to not think of this as a one-off, like, oh, great, we're going to study with the SAMP, and then, we're out of here. we need to have reliable data of the noise and all of the different contaminants every year, year after year. And that's it. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, JC, for, I knew that you were working on that effort with the renewal of that contract. And thank you very much for your testimony at the port and bringing that to their attention and getting it changed. And I, for one, am totally supportive of what you're saying. I mean, complete, accurate monitoring of noise and air quality. So,
Sharon. I have one more comment.
Okay, Debbie, and then Sharon.
Well, I just wanted to tell JC that I have direct experience with the data being fudged. So I've actually seen it when it comes to air quality. I haven't seen it with the noise, but there are published data points that they were to follow on emission factors for the third runway. They did not follow those. They made up their own, and they were probably, well, they were much, much lower than what they should have been. So I'm guessing, JC, that the noise monitors are producing data that is much lower than reality. So that's just my guess. But I did want to mention that there was another meeting that the port initiated with Beacon Hill on EJ outreach for the SAMP. And I wrote to Arlen, and I think I've shared her response about when we could expect a meeting for the South County. And she said they're not having them here.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everyone saw that thread today, because it's interesting that we are very burdened in that area. And we've asked about it. I've put in comments on this on scoping, and we've been waiting for some kind of EJ outreach for years, and we haven't had it.
Yeah. I think the burden is on us to demonstrate that we have EJ communities. And I know this has been going around.
FAA drew a map of the EJ census tracts for the new flight path for the Q400s.
Okay, I can provide some background about the monitoring system that SeaTac has, because I worked closely with Stan for about a year, because they had a vendor from Australia. So if they ever had issues, they had, imagine the time difference that they had to report their problems with their noise monitoring system. And they had a company by the name of Lockard. If those monitors are still, because it's all proprietary information and you can't easily change vendors, my guess is they still have that contract with Lockard. And because when SeaTac eventually did change vendors for its daily noise system, their flight tracking, radar flight tracking, was the system that we used at King County Airport. So I suspect, number one, that those monitors are a low priority to the company, Lockard, because SeaTac no longer hired them to do the more expensive work, number one. Number two, they're ancient at this point. Number three, Bernadine Lund has a lot of information to confirm that they will go long periods of time at different separate noise monitors and not provide any data. And when she would contact the noise staff at SeaTac about that, inquiring what's the problem, they didn't even know that it wasn't reporting. So they really need to beef up their efforts in the noise monitoring section of their noise program. And because that information is not used to create noise contours and kind of like for regulatory purposes, they just kind of ignore it. It's my estimation and my observation. But they have a new company now. And I think the emphasis may be on getting to the bottom of whether or not their noise monitors are even capable of doing the work, because they've had them for many, many decades. So these things just don't work forever. They're machines, and they're highly susceptible to weather conditions and vandalism, and they may not have been well located and sited in the first place.
Thanks, Sharon. It seems to me these are all, if there's anything throughout the SAMP that relies on any of these data, this begins to give us some evidence, some pushback to say you can't make decisions, you can't make assessments based on such bad data.
Well, in fact, some of the monitors still work on analog. They're not even digital data collection. So key.
Well, Javier knows garbage in, garbage out, and they don't care what kind of garbage they're collecting or spewing out. It's just garbage. They don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, all. It is 7:31. I'm respecting your time. I appreciate you all being aggressive in working through this agenda tonight. So thank you. I'm going to close. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
It's too late for closing comments. Thank you all. Enjoy.
Thank you, Nancy. Yep.
Good night. Hopefully the smoke gets blown away.
Also.
Soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Yep.